Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
I think the safest place for our kids this past year was possibly at school. But the fact is that it did go off really well.
And did you make the kids wear masks to prom, for example?
Let's see. Are we live, Sarah? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We are live.
They wore masks, but we know. I mean, they're kids. It's so abnormal for kids to wear masks and to stay 6 feet apart from your best friends. And, you know, teenagers are huggy. But the relationships and the memories and the mentoring and the role modeling and, you know, those are things that you don't get back.
I'm Sarah Fenske. We first featured Jonathan Butterfield on this show in August. He is the principal of Lutheran High School South, and that parochial school in Afton made a very unusual choice among high schools in St. Louis City and St. Louis County last fall. It decided to offer all students in-person instruction 5 days a week, and this is back when most high schools were hybrid, if not entirely virtual. On May 19th, Lutheran South celebrated the end of the school year without shouting down once and with zero cases of COVID-19 spread on campus. And joining us today to talk about how they made it through is Jonathan Butterfield. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me again.
So, Jonathan, congratulations on making it to the end of the school year. That's got to feel good.
Oh, it does. Yes. So, it feels really good. It was a exhausting but very fulfilling school year.
So I got to say, so many people, and I think so many of our listeners, thought it was impossible to do in-person education throughout this entire pandemic, and especially to do that for high school kids. I think a lot of people thought, okay, the really little kids, they seem to be okay with this. It's different for high school. Do you feel vindicated in some ways by your decision to be open full-time from the get-go last fall?
You know, a lot of people were saying it couldn't be done. And, you know, truth be told, we didn't know with certainty either, of course, right? But we knew what we do is simply too important to do on a screen. So we did everything we could, and it worked. We had zero cases, not even one instance of COVID being spread on our campus this year. And so certainly many of our students, you know, were positive throughout the year from other sources, but it was never from being at school. And so, yeah, there's some level of relief, and I don't question anybody for questioning us at that time, because no one really knew the right answer. But we did, and I do want to say we did proactively choose to be entirely virtual for 2 weeks during the year, the week after Thanksgiving and then the week after spring break. And it was probably a good move, because a few of our students, at least after the first break, did become positive. And so it was probably a good move to do. But overall, everything went just really well. And you know, in hindsight, Sarah, I believe that after now that we know more about COVID, I think the safest place for our kids this past year was possibly at school. You know, and in our case, it was a regular school. We had three dances. We had prom. We had all of our sports. We had lunch every day, you know, and our kids were able to enjoy almost everything that makes an overall high school experience awesome at Lutheran South.
So, I mean, I'm very surprised to hear you say you were able to pull off dances. I know when we talked to you earlier in the year, you were doing some things to make sure that even though you had all the students on campus, they weren't just packed in there like sardines. You were keeping some distance between students, and they were doing things like wearing masks. How did you have prom under those conditions?
Yeah. Well, first question is, how do we do homecoming in October?
That's a great question.
Yeah, we did it, and we didn't have any issues. And then we did what we call our backwards dance in the spring. And then we did do a prom, you know, in late April as well. And nothing came of it, thankfully. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, besides, obviously, we're we're, you know, so pleased for God's providence, but we don't know that we did anything abnormally different than someone else would, besides just be careful. But the fact is that it did go off really well.
And did you make the kids wear masks to prom, for example?
Let's see. Are we live, Sarah? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We are live.
They wore masks, but we know, I mean, they're kids. It's so abnormal for kids to wear masks and to stay 6 feet apart from your best friends. And, you know, teenagers are huggy. And I think high school boys are the biggest culprits, actually. And they crave those personal relationships. And so it was extremely difficult. There's a constant reminder to keep your mask up and keep your distance and so forth. But, you know, we understand relationships matter so much. And, you know, we're created for community. And we're reminded that, you know, our teenagers really flourish in that kind of structured environment, you know, where they have that community, where they're known and loved and have their friendships and have those lifelong memories. And so we did whatever we could and it worked.
So you mentioned there that the safest place for kids might be in school. Is that because some of the mental health issues that have been so well documented during this pandemic for kids who were stuck at home and isolated from each other?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, our counselors reported that our kids came back to school last fall in much worse position than they even thought. But after the first month of school, said every kid, you know, the needle was moved extremely positively in the right direction. And so that was so important. And, you know, so many kids who came to our school once they experienced the totally virtual environment because they wanted to be in person. Similarly, their parents sort of said, you know, we have our kids back. This is awesome. This is what our kids needed. They needed to be in person despite the fears that we may have. We can do this, you know, educatedly well, and we can know the research and take the precautions, and it's worth it for us because our kids are struggling so much with their mental health.
So on the subject of those precautions, I know when we talked to you early on in the school year, there were a number of things that Lutheran South was doing to try to mitigate spread. Is there anything you had in place at the beginning of the year that once you got into it, you realized, you know what, this just isn't helping, or this just doesn't make sense. We're going to change the game plan.
Right. Well, it was likely the right decision. The spatial distancing was very difficult. And frankly, that was probably the most broken rule without adult intervention. And we eased on that quite a bit the second semester, and we're still able to keep our kids safe. And so who knows how important that really was while masks are being worn. I know it was the right thing to do at the time, but you know, that has sort of gone by the wayside as the year got near the end. They still had to wear their mask, but they, you know, we weren't on them as much about staying apart from each other. The other thing we did, you know, we offered our families, you're right, the option to be in person every day. And, you know, the vast majority of them took us up on that. But, you know, the longer the school year went on, kids were more easily tempted to come to school late or even to choose to be virtual that day. And it was fine for them. And actually, it worked for a couple kids really thrived in that environment. But most kids simply cannot. And so we did make it to the end of the year in that kind of environment, but we're really looking forward to expecting all of our students in person next year because we know that's, you know, that's best. That the face-to-face communication is certainly the best way to do education.
It's interesting. There's been a lot of talk about what we'll keep around even after the pandemic finally ends here in the U.S. I've heard some people say they're going to keep wearing a mask. They love that they didn't get the common cold this year. Mm-hmm. And some schools saying maybe they'll continue to have virtual offerings. It sounds like you are not going to be in favor of having virtual offerings going forward.
Yeah, that, you know, that's not going to be there could be a you know, a rare case where there's a reason why a student needs to be like that. You know, the year before last, we had a girl in the hospital, and so we met her needs that way. During this year, we had a boy who was in China and couldn't come to school on campus, and so you know, he took classes virtually in the middle of the night for him. And so we'll have those one-offs, we think, although I have to tell you, as of today, no one has talked to me about that kind of situation yet. I think people are really just craving to be in person. But there are things we're going to keep. You know, all school lunch. We all ate together this year because we had to. We spread out over the entire campus, and you know, it was tough to supervise, but it was our only option, and the kids did great. But what we found is that we typically will eat in shifts, but what we found is that, you know, kids are disappointed that they aren't in lunch with their friends, or they can't, you know, meet a teacher for some tutoring during lunch. And so this was just a great time for relationship building, for large group meetings, and a new intramural opportunity that we created this year with some friendly competition and community building in our house system. And, you know, kids got to eat lunch and then go play kickball or badminton or cornhole or ping pong, whatever it was. And it was a great distraction this year away from the rigors of the academic work. And so we're gonna for sure continue that into the future as well. And, you know, we learned how to effectively teach fully remote classes. We can do that. We also found, I think some schools would agree with this, some classes just are really impossible to teach online, right? Like your family and consumer science classes or industrial tech or AP chemistry maybe. You know, the extra time and effort and disruption that the hybrid model causes the teaching and learn environment is just too significant to keep that going. We just really value our kids being on campus in person.
I imagine even though this year the kids felt pretty lucky to be back there with their friends, that this was hard for the teachers. Yeah. By the end of the year, were you feeling some burnout from your staff?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I can tell you that I'm looking forward to summer, but what I'm most looking forward to is knowing that my teachers are getting a break, and that's what I'm most excited about, because they just had to work so hard. It was the toughest year for probably every teacher, and you know, who knows in the world, this year in their entire career. And so they just went above and beyond this year, and so it's, you know, I'm happy for them for the summer. But it is true that there's a sense of things got a little, you know, a little more tense at certain times at the end of the year that that normally come in May, but maybe were heightened this year, of course, just with everything going on.
And so everybody's ready for a break.
Yeah.
Well, so looking back on this past year, you almost had a 430 student experiment. And I don't mean to minimize what the stakes were in this. I mean, you had three kids in this. I know you took this very seriously. When I say three kids, I mean three of your own children were students at this school. You did take this very seriously, but in some ways it was a great experiment. And so coming out of this experiment, what's your biggest takeaway? What would you hope other people would take away from what you learned?
Oh, man. You know, that's a great question, but, you know, just the courage to take calculated risks when stakes are high, right? We knew how important the overall high school experience is for kids. It's so much more than just academics, but the relationships and the memories and the mentoring and the role modeling and, you know, those are things that you don't get back, right? And so it was just too important. And so, you know, we had the courage and the faith to go out and you know, trust that God would bless the process, and he did. And for us, you know, there's no way we would have done it differently. That's really important to us.
Well, Jonathan Butterfield, we're all so glad that you guys made it through. This was a year without casualties. Yeah. So congratulations on that. And thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.